Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
And welcome back to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck.
Hey,
Here we are. Linwood, Kansas. Still, we're doing a group of podcasts in Linwood. Mark came out here from Denver to Linwood, where I live, and we're in the sanctuary of the Linwood Baptist Church. You know the story, how it was replanted in 2020. One of hundreds of churches that have been replanted in the last 10 years. Basically over 100 churches a year, Southern Baptist churches, that would have closed their doors that are now thriving, just like this one. Yeah.
Praise the Lord, man.
Three remaining members, and now somewhere between 60 and 100 people every Sunday, doing great. And that's not an unusual story. It's a common story. Yeah. And if your church needs more help with that, check us out at churchreplanters.com. But when your church is in decline, as are maybe 60 to 80% of all Southern Baptist churches and churches of all denominations, one of the things that we can be very low on, one of the things we have very little of, one of the things that is lacking is encouragement.
Man, is that true?
It can become a very discouraging place. I know in the churches I've served that have been in decline, you do the parking lot count on Sunday morning. You know, you look out the window and you're counting how many cars are out there. And you know that, okay, there's 9 cars, so there's probably maybe 20 people here, you know. Sanctuary seats, 150. You know, and you're going to see all these empty pews and, you know, all of that and how discouraging it can be. And maybe there's no children in the preschool area and you're just working hard. And hey, you're supposed to be in a revitalization. And I talk every day, literally every day, to guys who are just so discouraged. And encouragement, look, if you're discouraged, you're going to have a hard time encouraging your people.
Yeah.
And if you don't encourage your people, they're going to have a hard time being excited about what God can do in this church.
That's right.
So the lack of encouragement in your life can become a habit.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you are a discouraging person.
Yeah.
I've walked into churches and the pastor is a well-meaning person and loves the Lord and loves the church, but he's just been crushed. And you can just see the discouragement all over him. So, Mark, you really embody encouragement many times. Embody.
That's a great word. Embody. Well, man, this is something I'm really passionate about.
Well, talk to us about it.
Yeah, I want to talk about it because I think one of our goals is not only to grow as encouragers ourselves, which I would say, man, the most effective leaders I've ever known and pastors are encouragers of other people.
But say that again.
The most effective pastors and leaders that I've ever known, and I would say are the most contagious, they're the kind of people others want to be around, are encouragers.
And I got to tell you, having been a pastor for 45 years, and my dad's a pastor, my great-grandfather, having spent my life in denominational life, maybe it's because of my role I have, guys feel like they can be completely transparent with me. But man, I run into a lot of pastors who do not exhibit encouragement.
No, that's exactly right.
They are some of the most discouraged people I've ever met.
Yep. And if we're discouraged as pastors, I promise you our people are. And in revitalization, one of the first things you've got to do is you've got to help create a culture of encouragement. Why? Because it brings hope. It brings life. It fuels joy. And so here's the bottom line. The first thing I just want to talk about here is, why do people need encouragement? And there's all kinds of reasons, and we know this. One, man, we live in a fallen world. Life is hard for people. I served under a pastor for years. He used to say, be kind, because everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And it's true. You know, some people are better at faking it than others, but in a fallen world, man, every person in your church is fighting a battle. And they're discouraged in different ways, including you, which is why you need to be able to step into that and bring life-giving encouragement that points others to the Lord. Another reason, we have an enemy. And one of the things Satan wants to do, I believe, more than anything else, is discourage you and your people. We've experienced that.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it, in your life, Clifton.
Absolutely.
Gee whiz.
And let's be honest. I can't tell you how many pastors I talk to who will own up and be honest with the fact that I deal with depression.
Mm.
That's not an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that I do, and you've mentioned you have in the past, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason we struggle with depression as pastors is because Satan knows it's a great weapon he uses against us.
Yeah.
If he can get us discouraged, man, that just permeates so much. You lose your motivation.
Yep.
You lose your passion. You lose your drive. You lose your creativity. You lose your hope.
Yep.
You lose everything
like
that.
You lose everything. Yeah, you do.
Just by being in a depressive state.
That's exactly right.
And there's a lot to be depressed about.
Yeah.
I mean, there
that's
is.
That's just the truth. Yeah.
We should do a whole podcast on 10 reasons why you should be a depressed pastor. You know, it's not hard.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Financial pressures against the church are amazing.
Yep.
Your own family, marriage pressures can be overwhelming sometimes. The way your children misbehave, the issues you have perhaps with your wife, the fact that you're physically ill or you're battling disease or you're battling chronic illness or someone you love is. The fact you got to take care of your aged parents.
Yeah.
The fact that you've got people in your church who their lives are a hot mess and they don't pay any attention to anything you say.
Yep,
and they just become more of a hot mess. And the fact that the people you love that have been so good to you in your church come to you and say, Pastor, we love you, we love the church, but we're going to go somewhere else. I mean, it just continues and continues. And after a while, you get so discouraged.
Yep.
And I see pastors who are just crushed.
Yes, that's right. No, it's right. And what you just described.
And that's a good day.
Yeah. Hence why encouragement's so important. Listen, it's not hard to find discouragers.
No, that's my point. Yeah. It's not hard to find things to be discouraged
about.
Totally,
man. Our whole world, I mean, is filled with it.
And you know, the one thing the world desperately needs and doesn't have is hope.
Hope, that's right. That's part of it. Encouragement fuels hope in many ways.
You know, when Paul and Silas were in the prison with all those other prisoners, and Paul, remember, he was a Roman citizen. He shouldn't have been in prison, right? Mm-hmm. That was illegal. In the middle of the night, if they had complained and griped, and they would have had reason to.
Yeah.
Paul had a legal reason to complain and to gripe.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have complained and griped against the Roman government and even against the Lord, hey, I came to Philippi because you told me to. I proclaimed the gospel because you told me to.
Yes.
And now I've been beaten beyond recognition. I've got swollen eyes and a busted lip, and I'm chained to this thing in the middle of this dark dungeon. So what do? They're encouraged. They sing and praise.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when the earthquake comes, the prison guard comes to them and says, "What? What do I have to do to be saved?" Look, when the world hears hope in a hopeless world, they can't ignore that.
That's right.
When you are discouraged and miffed off and angry and bitter and everything, the world ignores everything you say.
Yeah. No, all right. That's right. Jerry Sitzer has written a lot on this, and there's a quote I want to share that I love. I come back to this, and this is about the importance of encouragement in the church. He says, "Encouragement is to people in the church what maintenance is to cars and trucks. We have to encourage people to help keep them going as disciples of Jesus over the long haul. When our brothers and sisters in Christ are lacking in zeal and passion, when they lose heart, when they're discouraged and facing disappointment, we must come alongside them with words of encouragement." And I believe that is so, so true. Here's the problem, though. A lot of people know they should be encouragers,
right?
But they're not. And I think it's worth taking a few minutes to ask the question, why don't we encourage more? What holds us back from encouraging?
Right. Well, tell me, what does hold us back?
Tell you what, I think several things. One is pride.
Okay.
It's really sick how pride works in a lot of different ways. But what I've found is I think there are a lot of people who, if I encourage you, then somehow that reflects poorly on me.
Right.
Right? If I build you up, well, what if people actually start thinking, well, man, maybe he's a little more gifted than I am whatever.
That's
and so
right.
Sometimes pride is this sick poison that can kill them.
We want to be the brightest person
room. That's right. We want to be the brightest person in the room. Another one is just, quite frankly, I think self-absorption. We think so much about ourselves. It's hard to be an encourager when you're always thinking about me, 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 me. And so part of this is, Lord, give me eyes to see your work of grace in other people's lives, because that's what you're doing when you're encouraging.
Right.
You're identifying God's grace at work in people's lives, and you're just naming that, and
right.
you're bringing that to light.
Right.
You're literally bringing courage to people.
Guys, you will not be an encourager if you're focused only on yourself.
Nope.
And how you feel, and how people are treating you, and how the world's treating you. You will not have anything left over
that's right.
to be encouraging about.
That's exactly
let's just, right. let's just imagine for a minute. This is a little bit of takeoff on an illustration that Piper used to say, but it's I've changed it a little bit. So let's say that you know you're with a bunch of people and you really have a chronic illness, maybe a terminal illness, and you don't have a whole lot longer to live. But they've taken you on a trip and they've taken you to Grand Canyon, and so you're standing there on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and all of a sudden you lift up your eyes and you see the most amazing, beautiful thing you've ever seen on mm-hmm. the earth in your life. Your breath is taken away. At that moment, you don't think about your terminal illness. You don't think about the pain. You don't think about the next doctor visit. You're lost in the beauty and the glory of that Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And you turn to those around you, and you're not talking about yourself. You're talking about what you're seeing out there and how beautiful it is and
Amen.
How glorious
oh, yeah.
it is. And that's what it means to focus on the glory of God, the majesty of Christ, the eternal life that's ahead of us. Mm. If you focus on yourself,
yeah.
you're not going to encourage anybody.
No, that's right.
But if you focus on that,
yeah.
and then they're going to look at you and go, how can this person be so joyful
mm-hmm.
in the
that's
midst
right.
of such pain? It's because I'm not thinking about myself.
Totally.
I'm lost in the glory of God
yeah.
and the beauty of Him. That's the nature
Dude,
of encouragement.
Dude, that's so good. That's so good. A couple other things that hold us back. I think is just awkwardness. I think a lot of people, now I was blessed. I grew up with a father who is a relentless encourager. Okay, so I saw this modeled. I think a lot of people, when I push in, they're like, well, it feels kind of weird to
yes,
encourage people.
It does. Doesn't seem natural. They
no,
haven't grown up
no.
with it. And they sometimes think it seems phony.
Yeah, right, right. Which again, flattery is a sin, and flattery gives the appearance of encouragement. Here's the difference, though. Flattery is, I'm going to say some nice things about you because I want something from you. Encouragement is, I'm saying these words to build you up.
There you go.
And that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
But I would say this, don't let the fear of perceived flattery steal the joy of authentic encouragement.
I love that.
Okay?
All right.
And that's the truth. So lean into the awkward, I would say. And then one other thing I just want to say, and this is really important, I think a reason we don't. Remember this. I think a lot of believers have encouraging thoughts of people.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a gifted musician. I was really blessed mm-hmm. by the way they read scripture. I was
right.
Here's the problem. Nobody is moved, nobody is encouraged by your encouraging
right.
thoughts.
Right.
They must become words.
Right.
We have to speak them. And so that's what I want to say is, listen, it's not enough to just have an encouraging thought. You need to make that an encouraging word. So let's talk now about different ways we can encourage.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, different ways we can encourage. Let me start with this. I think as a leader in the church, let me talk to just pastors and leaders. You need to grow in encouraging people both publicly and privately. Okay? So publicly, every chance you get, and Clifton, you do this really well. Every chance you get, encourage folks in your church publicly.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like if somebody just, you know, your worship team, you know, once in a while before they get off the stage, say, aren't you thankful?
Mm-hmm.
Every week we're so blessed by these folks who lead us. And it's a little thing.
Right. Right.
It means the world to them.
Right.
It also shows your people that you value
exactly.
what they're doing. Right?
Exactly.
So public, any chance you get, man, I just want to
yeah.
like brag. I want
to
encourage
folks. It's fine
folks.
To say, you know, and this morning as we're in here, we've got some wonderful people working in our preschool area.
Yes.
Those kids, we're grateful for that. And Carl back there on running the sound and the
totally.
Pictures, man, thank you for the work you do for
yes.
doing that so much. And man, those of you guys who made the call. Now, you know, you do that every week, it gets a little redundant, but just don't be hesitant to
yeah.
call people out
That's
and call
right.
things out and
yep.
and just give them a word of encouragement.
That's really good.
Guys, listen to me, please. You have no idea the power of a word of encouragement from a pastor.
Mm.
You ask somebody to read scripture in public and they're going to be nervous perhaps, and you've worked with them but and got them ready. When you get done, man, after the day, after they do it or that evening, just give them a text or a call
That's
and
right.
say, man, I appreciate you reading that scripture. That was such
yep.
a blessing
mm-hmm,
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just a word of encouragement from a pastor
oh, man.
Can mean so much.
That is so true.
And especially to a young person or a child.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm so glad you're
I
here
know,
today.
I love it.
Just,
I love it.
You We way underestimate the power of encouragement.
Yep. And there's a joy. Here's the thing. I joke around. I say, man, when you grow as an encourager, it's like Christmas every day. Not only are they blessed by it, but you're blessed by
it. Exactly.
Man, there's nothing better than encouraging us.
And being discouraged and pointing out people's faults and shortcomings, that becomes a habit, which becomes a lifestyle.
Yes.
But being an encourager and pointing out
also,
the good also
that's
becomes
right.
a habit and becomes
Yeah,
a
what kind of pastor or leader are you going to be?
Absolutely.
You can be a discourager or an encourager.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. Along with public, we also need to encourage privately. And what I found is there's some leaders that are really good at publicly encouraging people, but privately, not so much. And when I say privately, I mean looking at somebody in the eyes and say, man, I love you. And I am so proud of you. I love what God's... Nobody else is hearing this.
Right. I'm not doing it
to make
a scene.
That's exactly right. I'm saying this because I care about and I see God at work in you. Mm. Those are typically the most powerful encouragements that we can give to people. And so both public and private are important. Some other ways that we can encourage... Man, have you ever just had somebody, and going back to what you said about pastors, just somebody who prays for you? Like, I think sometimes in the church, man, it shouldn't be weird on Sunday mornings to see people actually praying for one another.
No, absolutely.
You know? And Stephen Curtis Chapman had this song back in the day called Let Us Pray, right? Like, right now, let's go to the throne of grace. I'll tell you, encouragement is when someone shares a struggle with you. And you say, you don't need to make a big deal. Just say, man, can I just pray for you right now?
Right.
And those words, as we're going to the Lord, dude, that's encouraging to people.
I know.
You know?
It really
and
is.
And so we want to lead the way in that, but we also want to create a culture. Like, you should say that literally to your people. Hey, guys, this shouldn't be strange to pray for one another on Sunday mornings.
Okay, so I had some grandchildren staying with me this week, and... as we do this podcast, and I'm battling a cold, and you can tell that probably when I hack into the microphone here.
That kind of gives it away.
So I'm battling, but we all do that, you know, but I'm battling. By the way, I preached a couple of weeks ago, the last 2 weeks I preached in different churches, and I had a really bad cold, and but my friend, this is just a secondary thought, it has nothing to do with encouragement, but whatever. But my friend Richard Blackaby always makes it clear, don't ever apologize before you preach or speak for anything. It just draws attention to it. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
So really, I really had a really bad cold both times, and I had to take water up there because I kind of had to keep drinking, and I even took a handkerchief up there because I might need that. But, you know, in past, I would have stood up there and said, hey, folks, I'm sorry, you know, I really battled a cold today. But what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
And so I didn't. I just got up there and I just preached.
Good.
And afterward, people said, it was, you know, I really appreciate you did that. Were you battling a cold? I said, yeah, I was. But I didn't use it as an excuse.
You didn't make it a deal. Yeah, exactly.
Which, guys, I think that's important.
Important.
To do that.
Yep.
So having said that, I'm telling everybody I'm battling a cold.
Well, yeah,
today.
But you're going to your kiddos, right? Your grandkids.
Yeah, so
this
grandkids,
is cool.
My grandkids are staying with me. So, you guys are coming to pick me up at my house to bring me here to do these podcasts. And, I mean, you know, we do 8 or 10 a day, right? And so I'm not feeling good, right? And I got this cold, and you always feel worse in the morning. So they come to my, they knock on my door, and they in my little study there, my little den, and they say, hey, Granddad, how are you doing? And I said, well, you know, I'm being all right, but I got a pretty bad cold, and I'm pretty tired, don't feel real good. But are you going to go do the podcast? Yeah. They said, well, let's just pray for you. And so these four little grandkids remember me, and they put their hands on my shoulder.
That's so sweet.
And they just pray for me.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
awesome.
Just the encouragement
that
I gave.
Yeah,
it was just instantaneous. It wasn't fake. It wasn't phony. Yeah. Nobody saw it.
Yeah.
We need to develop that kind of childlike faith. And when people say, man, I'm really struggling with something, you know, don't just say, okay, I'll pray for you later.
Exactly.
Say, let me just pray for you right now.
I love that, man.
And I've got a friend of mine named Paul Johnson in Canada, and I know this happened one of the first times he and I ever talked on the phone. I didn't really know him. We were talking about doing some ministry in Canada, but I got to really appreciate him. And he was talking to me about something, and he said, and I told him something was going on in my life. He said, Mark, let me just take a minute right now on the phone and pray for you about that. And I maybe other people have done that. I don't remember anybody ever doing that
for me. Yeah.
Like
somebody
I really didn't know.
Yeah.
And he prayed this wonderfully thoughtful prayer for me on the phone.
Yeah.
And then we continued the discussion.
What an encouragement.
Yeah, what an encouragement. Oh, man, that is awesome. That's awesome. Well, here's the deal. We're coming to the end of this podcast, and hopefully that we've helped you to think through a little bit why encouragement is so important. Here's my challenge. And we do this at our church, and it's become part of the culture. It's what we call the Barnabas Challenge, right? Barnabas,
okay.
In the book of Acts, the son of encouragement.
Right.
Real simple, but the challenge is this, to encourage three people every day, okay?
Okay.
Just three people. And if you need a reminder, put it at the top of your phone. And here's what I will tell you. It, just as you said, Clifton, discouragement becomes a habit, but so does encouragement. And the joy of every day intentionally, who's that person, maybe in your family, maybe when you go to the grocery store and that lady who's checking you out has had a tough day, and but you know she's having some joy, and you know, thank them for that. Man, I love coming in here, and I just love the way you serve people. Three people a day, you can do that. You can do that. Challenge your people. I'm telling you this. Again, I said this at the beginning, you've got to help your declining church find hope, and you've got to help that church become a joyful place, man. Nobody wants to be part of a cranky church.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, a lot of people are drawn to a joy-filled, encouraging church.
And your source of joy as a pastor is not your condition physically.
Yeah.
It's not your location physically, because the Apostle Paul, when he wrote Philippians, was in a bad place conditionally,
yep.
Physically, the thorn in the flesh, beaten five times with 39 lashes in prison. But he had, why? His joy was in Jesus.
In Jesus. Amen.
You're going to find your joy in the cross and your joy in Jesus. Yeah. You got to spend time there every day.
Love it.
And out of the overflow of that joy, you need to be the most encouraging person in your community.
Amen.
And in your church.
I love it.
And in your family. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.